5, looking at the heart and the character of those who would be citizens of the kingdom. Now, when we're talking about kingdom of God, we're talking about the rule of Jesus Christ, putting our lives and our trust and our faith in Jesus Christ as Christ and King, as Peter and the other apostles presented Christ on Pentecost. And so his kingdom is the rule of Christ in our hearts as we ask, as we seek, and as we knock to know the righteousness that comes from Christ being King of our lives. And not on, and then when we got to chapter 7, we see that it even has to do with making righteous judgments. And so then when we get to the song, Seek Ye First, it takes in all of that, and then the comment, ask, seek, knock. Ask, keep on asking, whether it's in prayer or mentally wanting to search, because it is seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. That's, and you want to ask about that. You want to have that forefront in your mind. You want to be looking for, striving for, seeking, knocking. Keep on knocking. Keep on diligently persevering. Sorry, my brain just stopped there a minute. Persevering in those things that will not only give you righteous judgments, not hypocritical. It goes back to the heart, not hypercritical, not hypocritical. You know, Jesus began the sermon with the heart. And so we looked at that, and as we sing this song, to try to understand what we're saying. Any further thoughts before we leave that? Okay, in Matthew 7:12, upon learning the basis for making these righteous judgments, I don't believe Christ has left the subject. And so in Matthew 7:12, what the world calls the golden rule. Yes, Lauren?
Where are we?
Okay, we're in Seek Ye First, that song, and we're in number 5. Matthew 7:12, I'm going to cover that. Okay, Matthew 7:12, do you all have that on your sheet? Okay, sorry.
Does ask, seek, knock, is in the text?
Yes, yes. I did not go back. Ask, seek, knock. That's the one that we're on. Okay, so when Christ gets down to and finishes that section in Matthew 7 and verse 12, maybe I'll just put it in here because I wanted to make a... something. I sometimes when I make my notes, I forget that some of them are not on your sheet. You know, forgive me for that. Okay, I know y'all have Luke 14. We'll cover that. Therefore, upon learning the basis for making righteous judgments, seeking first the kingdom, that's the rule, and his righteousness, let it be the guide in your treatment of your fellow man. The golden rule. Treat others in all those ways that he was talking about, but especially in, because we're so quick to make quick judgments or rash judgments or hypercritical judgments. And so in dealing not only with our brethren, but in our neighbor. And especially in our families. Especially in our families. And so Jesus says, the person who's seeking the kingdom first and his righteousness, the way, what Jesus showed us to be right, okay, is treat those the way you want to be treated. And of course, if you want to be slapped around or said things badly to or thought things badly about you and everything, if that's really what you want, you know, I'm sure you can, you know, do that, but that's still not going to be pleasing to God because you're not seeking the kingdom first. And so now I gave you Luke 14. Any questions or any comments about that? Y'all had wonderful comments last week. I really appreciate it. And Luke 14, I just put that in there because Jesus has been talking about the Sermon on the Mount, and in Luke 14, this is an Luke's account, okay, of some discipleship points that he makes. Jesus is speaking here and everything. And in 26 through 35, we're not going to take the time to read all that, but it's talking about counting the cost. And 26, 27, 28, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers, sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Continue to be. You can become a disciple, but you may not continue to be because you're not seeking the kingdom first and his righteousness. Okay, and you're not putting it first. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Okay, and then he talks about two or three different ways that shows the wisdom in counting the cost and being a disciple of Christ in everyday things about the king, not counting the cost of what the war is going to be and those kind of things. And so, to follow Jesus and to have him Lord and King, we must take up our cross, whatever that is. Count the cost. Take it up and follow him. So, if one does not ask, seek, knock, as in the text, both in the song and, of course, more importantly, in Scripture. What is God's promise to them? In Matthew 7 over there, and in the song, what does Jesus say? And what does the songwriter...
You'll have everything that you need.
Yes. That's chapter 6 says food, clothing, food, clothing, and drink will be added unto you. You'll get those things. But in the text it says, ask. You will what?
Receive.
It'll be given to you. Receive. It'll be given to you. Seek. Find. You're not going to be seeking the kingdom first and his righteousness with the kind of heart that Jesus talked about and not find it. That's God's promise. You're not going to be spinning your wheels like worldly wisdom. You're going to find it. You're going to gain from it. 2 Peter 1 talks about what you're adding, some virtues to you and how you grow, and you're not going to be fruitless. Okay? So, then the door will be opened unto you. The door to the kingdom and his righteousness. Not only that, but will grow and grow more like Jesus. And then Jesus in chapter 7 talks about the narrow door, the narrow gate. Few that be that find it. We want to be the few that ask and seek and knock and find and keep on asking and keep on knocking and keep on seeking. Growing more and more like Jesus in his righteousness. So, when we sing that song to one another, isn't it a wonderful encouragement to others and us? And then I ask, I wanted to turn over to James 1. Let's turn to James 1. Someone mentioned this. I think it was Elizabeth, maybe Susan Hendricks. Last week, in James 1, 5 through 8, James is writing to Christians who are suffering, Christians who are struggling, okay? And they have various trials, verse 2, okay? And verse 5, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, direction, in getting through these trials, let's keep it on point. He's talking about persevering, enduring these trials. If you lack wisdom in doing that, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Same thought, ask, seek, find, you know, okay? But let him ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything. My judgment is not talking about just prayer, just like we were talking about in Matthew 6 and 7. Christ covers prayer in the Sermon on the Mount. But yes, it can include prayer, but I think it's also talking about, where do we get direction? The Word of God. If you want to know how to get through the trials of life, if you want to know how to endure, if you want to know how to persevere, ask of God. His wisdom is there. And also, there is other avenues that God has given us that James includes in his letter. And it's talking about elders. It's talking about godly people. And, you know, when we fail or when we're struggling. So, seek those things that God has put in place for his people in order to help us to persevere, to find, to have the righteousness of God. So, what is the life-giving food that I asked you, that it's in verse 3? Let's of the song, if you all have it there. What is in verse 3 that tells you is the life-giving food there in the song? Surely you don't even have to look at the song, you know. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What?
I'm searching every chapter that you referenced on this page in the Bible.
Oh, sorry, from the song. From the song.
Totally missed
it. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay. From the song. Let me make a note from that to put back on my sheet, you know. Okay. From the song, verse 3. Okay. From the song. Song. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay? Ask, seek not. Okay. Every word that proceeds out of mouth of God. Sort of going back to Matthew 7. Jesus said, okay? Peter over in his books talk about the longing for the sincere milk of the word, thereby to grow. Peter talks about that when he says, you know, what's going to help them grow. So, who does Jesus say will enter the kingdom of heaven? And that's Matthew 7. Those who hear his word and obey it. Very good. So, Sauter puts that focus all in hearing God's word, seeking to do it, asking, seeking, knocking, obeying, enduring. Okay, so any other thoughts on that song that we sing so often, which is a really good song? Let's get our song book. Turn to Psalm 19. We're not going to do the stanzas there because we can read in our Bible. It almost completely quotes the Bible. We all know what the Word of God says. It's Psalm 439. I had an old song book and I wrote it down and forgotten. Had to get the new song book out. 439. Psalm 19. And it talks about the law of the Lord and all of the the ways that the law of the Lord, what the attributes of it, and then we get to the course. This is what I wanted to look at and quickly. Here comes the attitude. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. We sing that to God. Now, is it the thing that we most desire in our life? That's what we look at. Between you and God, yes, we are singing it to others, but what we're really saying is, this is me, and this is my attitude and my reaction to the Word of God. So, just a thought there, because these are the words that we sing. They're righteous altogether, is that last little phrase before the chorus. Righteous altogether. So if we're seeking the kingdom first and His righteousness, we desire this more than anything. And that will lead us to whatever steps it takes to make it a part of our life. Okay, let's turn to 98 right quick. You know, we were talking about asking and seeking and knocking. And yes, you know, prayer can be a part of that. How many of us don't need every day when we're seeking and knocking and finding out, my goodness, I failed yesterday, you know, to do what I should have done, or I misstepped in some way, that we don't need to turn to God in prayer. If just, you know, quickly in a mind, you know, keeping an humble heart. You know, we don't have to make a big religious ceremony out of it. You know, God doesn't like that anyway. You know, big religious ceremony. But anyway, this is a prayer. And I want us to read it. Lauren, would you read it aloud, please? The song. All of it.
Okay. Take my life and let it be consecrated to thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice and let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Take my will and make it thine, it shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own, it shall be thy royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour, at thy feet its treasure store. Take myself, and I will be forever only all for thee.
Quite mind-boggling words, aren't they? You know. And like I say, this is a prayer before the throne of God. And so, as we sing these words, we need to meditate on them. We need to humble our heart and know that we are speaking to the God of heaven and that He is able to do everything. Yeah, I don't find a thing here that's not according to Scripture, that it is not possible for the Lord to help us in. And so what we need is, especially that will there, take my will and make it thine, you know, and take my life and, you know, and let it be concentrated, set apart for your use. So, in these words, there are any thoughts about this song as you read over it and as you sing? Remember the warning that we studied in one of the lessons? What we say to God will follow us to judgment. And it's like Matthew 25. I was thinking about this when I read again this last night. Jesus says, you didn't do it to others. You didn't do this. You know, it's not that you did really bad things, but you just didn't serve one another. So even those things that we don't repent of will follow us. And so things that we say, and absolutely, you know, I don't think any of us just plain old don't mean it and just sitting there and lying to God, you know? But to humble our hearts, to guide our hearts, to purpose in our hearts, to do more and more seeking the kingdom first and His righteousness. Any other thoughts on that? Okay, one of the songs that I put on your sheet was I Am Resolved. Sauter speaks for herself. I am resolved. That's what it takes, doesn't it? To no longer linger. Okay. And right in the middle of those, I put, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. You know, the angels welcome me on the open door. You know, because I don't feel at home in this world anymore. This world's not our home. We're just a passing through. And the song talks about that attitude and what we do here and waiting and looking for our heavenly home. So, I am resolved. And then right across the page from 325 is trust and obey in 326. So, we were talking about the Word of God and obeying it. Jesus said it. He that hears my word and does them will enter. And so, you know, to get us to our thoughts, our first things in life, and our first priorities, and trust in them and obey them. Just like James was talking about, you ask anything not according to faith, it's not going to do you any good. You're not going to believe it's going to happen, or you don't believe that it'll work. And folks, in this life, we meet trials, and we know what God's Word says. We know some of the instruction He gives us for growing. We know some instructions for getting through those trials. We ignore those and take on worldly wisdom because we don't think it's going to work. And so, I'm resolved. And trust and obey. Okay. Let's now turn our attention to Follow Me, 564. And I love this song because in 564, y'all can, if it's easier for you all to turn in your songs instead of trying to reach back there and everything, I find it better for me. In 564, we have this song, and it says, Follow Me. When we meet trials of any sort or any kind of mistreatment, sometimes they're sorely real. But sometimes we often exaggerate what's going on in our minds. Nonetheless, we get discouraged, we get grumbly, and they begin to burn us down. And this is one of the songs that sort of brings me back to reality. God's Word, read the Psalms, the suffering Psalms, or just turn over and read the Gospels and look at Jesus, because this is what we're going to talk about. And so, but we sing this, and what comes to our mind, and you know, what happens to us when we sing this song, and what our hearts will turn to. So, we remember the sacrifices of Jesus. Let's read it. I traveled down a lonely road and no one seemed to care. That's you and me and everybody else talking, you know, that, you know, complains about. And because everybody suffers trials and stuff, or is lonely sometimes, thinks nobody cares. Especially those who solder are bad about their attendance to the Lord's church when it assembles. Solder slack in their Bible study. slack in their prayer life, they really get into shape. The burden on my weary back has bowed me to despair. I often complain to Jesus how folks were treating me, and then I heard him say so tenderly. Now, this is, we're going to have to take this as what we read in God's Word in the Gospels or in some of the epistles that talk about, you know, Jesus, okay? Not direct influence of the Holy Spirit. We're not walking down the road and Jesus not speaking to our hearts. We have to open up the book and let Jesus talk to us, or we have to open up the book and let the Holy Spirit talk to us, okay? My feet were also weary upon the Calvary Road. The cross became so heavy I fell beneath the load. And then he says, be faithful, weary pilgrim. The morning I can see, just lift your cross and follow close to me. Then we add it again with our boastful hearts, whether in our mind or even in our words. I work so hard for Jesus, I often boast and say, I've sacrificed a lot of things to walk the narrow way. I gave up fame and fortune. I am worth a lot, you see. And then I hear him gently say to me, I left the throne of glory and counted it but loss. My hands were nailed in anger upon a cruel cross. But now we'll make the journey. Your hand. Sorry. With your hand safe in mine. So lift your cross and follow close to me. And then it talks about the guy who wrote this song was a missionary. You know, I went and looked it up and everything. He was a missionary for the Assembly of God. Okay, that's why I mentioned the Holy Spirit a while ago. And so he did. He said, oh, Jesus, if I die upon a foreign field someday, 'twould be no more than love demands, no less can I repay. Now, you and I are not in that situation, but who knows what the United States of America is going to be? Who knows what power is going to come in? Who knows that if they will come into the church building and say, you know, Don't worship God anymore. You can't have your Bibles. Those kinds of things. People over the centuries have had this very, you know, things to deal with. We're very blessed at this time and moment. But even the devil's is not stupid. He uses those things that will get our heart, you know, and test us. Even as some of the things that tested us with the Christians or the believers through the centuries. And so, no greater love, pick up the song, hath mortal man than for a friend to die. These are the words he gently spoke to me. If just a cup of water I place within your hand, then just a cup of water is all I demand. He gives us gifts. He gives us opportunities. And we live in the circumstances in which we live. If that's all we have, we use what we have to the best of our ability to serve him. He wants us that cup of cold water, if that's all I can do. Remember those two little mites that poor widow put in the treasury? A cup of cold water is all that I demand. But if by death to living, they can thy glory see. We may have to die for Christ. The apostles did it. Early Christians did it. Believers through the Reformation and the Restoration did it. They might not have served full truth, but they did it. If by death to living they can thy glory see. We sing that. If we're not going to mean it, we might as well just not sing that part. Okay? I'll take my cross and follow close to thee. So, when we get to feeling that way, or when our pride, whether by mouth or by in our thought, you know, on how great we are, I have fallen into that, you know, over the years, you know, I'm just so busy doing things for the Lord, blah, 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 you know, and feel really good about myself, you know. And so, but we need a reality check. We need to get back with that humble heart and thank God for the opportunities we had and hope that we did bring glory to God for them. Okay? So, we need to look back to Jesus and get behind him. But he's got our hand. So, let's turn to Hebrews 12. Any thoughts about that? Hebrews 12. Because we're going to pick up our cross and falling. Let's look what the writer of Hebrews, and I think I'll find it in the book, not that book, the better book. Hebrews 12. We've studied this before in different classes. And, of course, it's the let us part of the book. And in verse 1 through 13, it's talking about everything from let love of the brethren continue. And, wait a minute, I'm in 13, excuse me, verse chapter 12. It follows the chapter on faith in chapter 11. Then the Holy Spirit says, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses talking about faith and what they did, let us, and what did I say? Let us lay aside every encumbrance, verse 1. That so easily entangles us. We get so busy, and even in good things, that we neglect the better. We neglect the better, busy doing good. Okay. Let us run with endurance. You know, we've been talking about what it takes to seek and knock and keep on asking and those kind of things. Let us run with endurance the race that is before us. Okay. Now, in my thinking, the verses that follow, verse 2 and following, tells me how I can accomplish this. Number one, you're fixing your eyes on Jesus. Of course, and his righteousness and his word, and you're laying aside every encumbrance. Okay? But verse 2, let us fix our eyes on Jesus. This is to succeed. Where's the first place we look if we want to run this race? Jesus. Okay? He is our king. He is our example. He gives us his word. Okay. Verse 3. Let us consider him, again, who has endured such hostility and how he has endured his endurance, so as not to grow weary and lose heart. We're going to keep on persevering. We're going to keep on enduring. This is the way. We fix our eyes on Jesus and we consider him. Okay. And then it talks about you've not resisted the point of shedding the blood. Verse 5. You have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. You know, this is sometimes the part we don't like. Okay, we'll go along with those first two things we talked about, looking at Jesus and considering him, my son. Do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint, that's lose heart, when the Lord, whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is not for discipline, verse 7, that you endure. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which you all become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Okay? And then it talks about how much more the discipline, you know, and we should be subject to the Father's Spirit and live. For they discipline us for a short time, it seemed best to them. God, the Lord, discipline us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. So, what do you take away from that? What do you take away from that point? That sometimes these trials that test our faith for our good, discipline. Okay? What do you think about that when you read that? Verse 11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterward it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Then he gets down to it. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble. Repent. Make the necessary changes. Be strengthened and get on with it. Okay? James 1 talks about the same thing. It says trials test our faith, produces endurance. James 1, 2 and 3 and verse 12. Okay? For those who are trained by them. Also the one that perseveres is approved of God and will receive, I put this on your sheet, a crown of life. A crown of life. There's that narrow way again. Entering in. Okay. Any thoughts on that part of that lesson? On that song and on the songs that we covered. All right, turn your song books to 179. We're going to quickly look at these. 179, because what we've been talking about, fixing our eyes on Jesus, considering him, we sang some more songs about this. We sang it a lot before the Lord's Supper. Why do you think we sing it before the Lord's Supper? I think the song leaders lead it because we're trying to get our minds back to the center part of our faith. What we're all about in partaking of the Lord's Supper. 179 song is Lead Me to Calvary. Okay? And it's talking about crowning Christ as King. And lest I forget, thy thorn-crowned brow lead me to Calvary. What we've been talking about. Okay? And then it talks about showing me the tomb. This is some of the figurative things, because we can read about the suffering and the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. And then verse 4. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee. So it gets back to what we were saying. Even the cup of grief to share, thou hast borne off for me. And lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thy agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Quite an exhortation to one another, isn't it? And to internalize to ourselves. We should let our hearts and our minds and our thanksgiving go back to the cross daily and pick up our cross and follow Jesus. So, now, a brighter note, because we do consider Jesus, we do that, and then we have these trials, we are going to be disciplined by God. Let's turn to 360. Everybody knows that song. 360 is standing on the promises of God. Okay? One time Margaret made a good comment in class about, you know, how we get through some things and everything. Standing on the promises of God. Okay. We sing this song. Standing on the promises of Christ my King through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, verse 2, that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living word of God, I shall prevail. Standing on the promises of God. See, we haven't left the subject. In our daily walk, you never leave the subject. If you're to seek after Christ, seek the kingdom first, seek righteousness. Okay, standing on the promises of Christ the Lord, bound to him eternally by love's strong cord, overcoming daily, enduring, overcoming, persevering. By faith you can overcome. Daily with a spirit sword, standing on the promises of God, and then the course. And so, we don't have to grow weary. We don't have to fall beneath the cross, ours. You know, it's not going to get too hard to bear, because Jesus is there. His promises are there. His word is there. His people is there. God's love is always there. Okay. And 341 quickly, and then we'll close with a prayer. 341. You say, well, okay, we're standing on the promises. The way of the cross leads home. And we sing this. And this should cheer our hearts. This should give us strength, because the way of the cross leads home. We're not going to take, because where he waits at the open door, remember that way and that door? Jesus is at the right there. He's coming to bring us home. So, are we seeking the home in heaven with him? Are we seeking his kingdom in our hearts every day first? And are we taking up our cross and following after him?